So welcome to another Revenue Hub Who Are We episode, where we speak with one of our expert partners. Today we are joined by Eric Tengen. He is co-founder of Oki. Welcome, Eric.
Hi, Trevor. Thank you so much. Great to be here.
You're welcome. Great to have you on board. Great to have you as an expert partner and delighted to be able to talk to you today. As we always do on these episodes, we start off with a really nice and easy question. So Oki, tell us a bit about Oki, what you're all about, when you started.
Yeah, sure. So Oki, what we do is we help hoteliers sell the right deals to the right guests at the right times. So mm-hmm. we're very, very focused around enabling the hotelier to sell the full experience, everything that a guest is likely to want to purchase or experience or have relating to their travel after they book the room.
Okay.
And if you want to put that in a category, I would say we're an upselling solution.
Gotcha.
We started, I went to hotel school in The Hague, and during my last internship, I met Lars, who's one of the co-founders, and we decided, let's start a company together. We weren't really sure what that would be. And we moved back. I graduated from hotel school. We teamed up with Taco, who's the third co-founder. We complement each other really well. And we actually started building Oki as a feedback solution. So from working in hotels, because I was doing a lot of F&B, we saw that there was a problem, and this is in 2014. So we saw there was a problem when a guest would give feedback on TripAdvisor when they had left the property, because you, as a hotelier, you couldn't do anything about it. So we decided, okay, what a smart idea to build a solution that would capture feedback in real time. And this was before Expedia and Booking and everyone started doing it. Yeah. And as a small company, you know, with three naive, and thank God we were naive, because otherwise it's hard to start a business, entrepreneurs, we set out on this journey, and we found an investor who believed in us. But about a year and a half in, we had customers, we had paying customers, but we realized that it's a difficult thing to sell something to a hotelier that doesn't generate clear ROI. Yeah. And everyone would say, hey, where you're like, actually, if I don't act on the real-time feedback, it's a double negative. So it's a bit of a tricky sell. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, how can we generate revenue for hotels? That's what's going to make things easier for us to sell. And that put us out on like a whole new discovery phase. Imagine like you're a year and a half in, and yeah. you realize maybe we need to tweak
a little. Got to pivot.
Yeah. And so we started interviewing everyone we knew in the industry, and we asked them all the same question: where can you generate more money? Where are you leaving money on the table? And I remember it like it was yesterday. It was, his name is Floris Licht. Mm-hmm. If he listens to this, thank you, Floris. Because Floris was a general manager at the time at Hilton. I'm not sure where he is today. And he mentioned to us, there is only really one company that is doing something in the upselling phase. A guest makes a reservation with our hotel, and we would reach out to that guest prior to arrival and offer them basically add-ons or upgrades. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, I mean, from everyday life, you know what upselling is.
Yep.
But we got really excited about this, because as a DNA and the type of people we are incredibly data-driven, and we are very passionate about hospitality. And me just as a personality, I'm like kind of like a people person. I like to please people. Yeah. And if you have that combination, then you can look at upselling, not from the sense of we need to generate maximum amount of revenue, but look at it from the sense of what are guests likely to want to buy? How are they likely to want to buy it? When do they want to buy it? And by offering that kind of value proposition towards the guest, you generate conversion, and that generates revenue.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that in combination, that we got some investors who told us very smartly, you can't be, it's much better to be very, very good at solving a small problem than being half-assed at solving a big problem.
Big problem, yeah.
and that changed our entire direction of the business. So we actually stopped with our feedback, which was our little baby. Mm-hmm. And felt good about it also.
and we
turned in maybe around 2016 into a full-fledged company only focused around upselling. And it changed everything for us. So we knew what our focus was, what our vision was. We could hire the right people. and it allowed us to scale in a completely different way. And we're very, very proud to say that we are definitely the leader in our space today in terms of the conversion rates that we offer back to our hotels and the ROIs and so on.
Very good. How big are you as a company now? Are you still in that, obviously still in that growth phase?
Yeah, I hope we will still be in the growth phase 5 years from now. But we are now about 30 people, but we're adding 3-4 people almost every month.
Very good.
So on Monday, we have 3 new people starting. We saw a lot of organic traction coming from Asia. So we opened up an office in Singapore about 8 months ago and have seen really, really strong growth there. And the very logical next step for us, which maybe we'll talk about more later, is for us to enter the US.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But so cool. As a tool, we're live in around 85 countries, I think, already.
Brilliant. And I mean, you've spoken a bit about what you were, where you started and what you were looking to resolve. I mean, you're obviously your core clients are in with hotels. I mean, are you focused towards the larger brands or independent properties?
I think like a lot of things happen when you start a business, you end up with a situation and you solve that situation as you move along. Mm-hmm. When you're an entrepreneur, you can't say, okay, I want to go for Radisson as my first customer, because that will never happen, because the first product isn't that great. I mean, you need to have the kind of, in Dutch, it's called gun factor. It's like, why do you, if you go for, leave away from home, what is it that makes you travel 10 minutes extra to buy coffee from there when you have coffee next door? It's like, there's this likability or something.
Yes.
And that in Dutch is called gun factor. And I think we as any entrepreneur, possibly, you need to start by looking at the people that dig you for who you are and the vision you are, rather than the product you're selling in the beginning. Yeah, so just organically, we started out with small hotels, with hoteliers that we knew. And gradually, we kind of grew into actually signing Radisson Hotel Group recently.
I saw the news. Is, yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, we're so proud about that. But it's like, obviously, it's taken a lot of time. And it also takes a lot of product development to reach to a stage where the product is you know, ready for such scale.
Yeah.
But the cool thing, because this happened organically, we were in a phase where, okay, how do we make upselling work for a 3-star hotel with only one room type? How do we make it work for a 4-star hotel and then resorts and business travel and hostels and now all the way up to enterprise clients? So kind of organically, because we took it this path, we now have a platform that is used by everything from a standalone hostel to you know, a hotel chain with hundreds and hundreds of hotels.
Yeah.
And we've also organically entered a lot of different markets, which has enabled us to apply a lot of localization.
Ah, excellent.
Like I said in the beginning, we're always looking at it. How do you make a guest want to buy what you're offering when you offer it? And you need to offer it in the right language. You need to offer the right amounts of deals. You need to offer it at the right time of the day of the week. Content, super important. And all of these things is a combination of like being in a market enough time to capture a lot of data and trying things, but also becoming kind of an expert around upselling in terms of offering the full experience. Because when you look at what a lot of hoteliers think, well, let me ask you, what do you think when you hear the word upselling in a hotel?
Well, to me, it's, you know, that classic experience when you're talking, or you were a bit older, obviously, I'm used to making reservations on the phone, or you're standing there at the front desk and someone's saying to you, you know, it might be as simple as, well, do you want to have breakfast on? Or I mean, I used to think about they'd upgrade you or they'd offer you an upgrade. And I guess sometimes that may be a different terminology between an upgrade or an upsell. Or are they one and the same? Are we adding to try and generate ancillary revenues? Or are we just trying to offer a discount to a better room? But that's how I would have interpreted it as a consumer and my experience with hotels. From your point of view?
I think what you're saying is definitely correct. Mm-hmm. If you look at upselling, I personally, or we as a company for sure, we believe that upselling has a place every step of the customer life cycle, mm-hmm. from booking on the website until you return or hopefully return to the hotel.
Yep.
As long as what you're offering is relevant, and that's the key word. So upselling at the front desk is very relevant. And I know hotels make a lot of guests happy doing that and make a lot of money doing that. Mm-hmm. When we started, and that's also what differentiates us the most for, towards our competition, is that our competition just offers late checkout, early check-in, room upgrades, and maybe a champagne. Yeah. Whereas we look at it like there's so much more that is relevant to the guest. Mm-hmm. And it's relevant to the guest at different stages of their journey. So make a reservation. Maybe you don't think about adding a late checkout at that point. You want to arrange transportation. Mm-hmm. At some point, you start packing your bags because you're about to go to the airport. That's a great timing to start thinking about ancillary services, activities, and so on.
Yeah.
And we identified kind of sweet spots in the guest journey around when you should offer what type of deal by looking at when does it convert the highest.
Yeah.
And we have some really, really interesting data points on like just making a very easy example. At what time of the day do you think, if I send you an offer before arrival and you're a leisure traveler, mm-hmm. what time of the day do you think the conversion is the highest for leisure travelers if you receive an email or an offer?
Goodness me. if I judge on my life, I probably wouldn't even see something like that until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. so mine would either, it's unlikely to be first thing in the morning for me. Mine would be towards the end of the day, probably when I'm starting to think, God, how I need a holiday now. So if there's something else in there.
Okay.
What does your data show you though? It's probably something different.
Yes, we analyzed over a million reservations, and we saw that leisure travelers, they might open the email later, but this is when the email is first sent. And if the offer is sent at 1 p.m., the conversion is by far the highest.
Really?
But it's quite similar if you look at early morning and late afternoon.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then if we look at another segment, business travel, mm-hmm. when do you think is the best time to send an offer?
I would have said it would have either been first thing in the morning or towards the end of the day. I would have estimated. Yeah.
And you are right because, well, you saved yourself by giving two answers, but it is first thing in the morning, okay. Like around 10 a.m.
Interesting.
So leisure guest converts the best at 1 p.m. and leisure travel at 10 a.m. So, okay.
Yeah.
That gives us a lot of insights, but the real aha moment for us was when we looked at what is then the worst time for business. Well, that turns out to be 1 p.m., which is also the best time for leisure.
Interesting.
So like only the time of day component around upselling can have a huge impact on personalization in terms of when business travelers want to or are more likely to, you know, buy things from the hotel or take services.
Yeah,
and that trickles down to the bottom line with revenue, obviously.
Absolutely.
So, and this is just one data point. And because we are so passionate around looking at what are the things and the services and the add-ons that hotel guests want to buy because they buy it anyway, mm-hmm. how can we enable the hotelier to reach out to their various types of guests with bespoke offers at the right times throughout the customer journey and really try to drive more direct revenue to the hotelier rather than having these guests buying all the same deals, but from third-party online players.
Yeah. And do you find that there are, and it's really interesting because I guess there are certain times, if I think of myself, if I'm traveling on business and compare if I'm traveling for leisure, there are different periods where I will mentally engage with the next stage of the process. And so if I'm understanding you correctly, you know, identifying what is the next upsell opportunity and where is an appropriate place that we believe in that psychological journey that guest is on before they've arrived, to not only thinking about the time of the day when we drop this, but when within a few days, whether it's a week away or 2 days away, that we're dropping in another offer. Is that what you were saying earlier about that sort of journey process that they're on, and then the days when you drop in very niche, personalized?
Yeah, because the cool thing about being a data-driven company is that data doesn't lie to you. So if we strip away our emotions, we can just look at the data and take it for what it is.
Yeah.
And you start noticing that there are some very clear patterns in consumer behavior. So an interesting thing is like, let's take an example, like a Swedish business traveler staying in a hotel in Sweden will behave quite similarly if he's staying in a hotel in Thailand. So you can you can kind of group
map them,
nationalities together, for example.
Okay, yeah.
So what we are able to do is we're able to connect the things that that hotel guests have bought in Oki and look at what type of guests bought it and when did they buy it. So we now have a database of more than 8,000 different types of add-ons that have been purchased. And we also capture then who bought it and when and you know, what was the kind of setup.
So you're kind of able to almost build sort of profiles of this type of character that buys this type of product in this particular moment. Yeah,
exactly. And this is where we think it's so exciting about where we are, because now we're able to, for the first time, apply AI onto this. Mm-hmm. And it basically allows us to say, if a hotel wants to work with Oki, we can pull information about the hotel. It's a hotel in Italy. Yeah. And we see from the integration with the PMS or tower manager or something, what type of guests they have. And then we can look at, okay, similar property with similar type of guests. Yeah. They've sold these 25 deals. And then we create a really nice package around that content. So we actually spend a lot of money on images and really best-selling text that we also pre-translate to around 24 languages. Because that's always the key to success, try and make it as easy as possible for the hotel. Yeah. And of course, we have loads of things we still need to do, but we are spending a lot of effort on that. And for the hotelier, it's really nice, because a lot of hoteliers, they would, like coming back to the earlier question, they would look at upselling as a couple of things.
Yes.
And then we come to them and say, no, you can do anything.
So much. Yeah.
And then, of course, it's tied to operations and what they want to do. Some hotels, they sell goldfish to their lonely business traveler, and they put a goldfish in the room, and they have like 50 goldfish in the front, in the back office. I understand not all hotels want to do that.
No, I get that, but it's unique.
It's unique, and the cool thing is it like combines this like knowledge bank around what you can sell, and it enables the hotel to kind of tell a story to their guests. And this is something we're very passionate around with Oki's, how to help hoteliers with storytelling in terms of, you know, what really gives value to this guest with the stay that they're doing. And it's partly the things that they want to do anyway, transportation, they need to eat, they need to, you know, maybe do an activity. But it's also these things that they don't necessarily know that they want to do, but when they're offered it and it seems like a quirky, fun deal, they will take it. Like, we, of course, are very focused around room upgrades, F&B, spa, wellness, activities, all the things that make a lot of sense, parking, like inside of the hotel.
Yeah.
But also, hotels use Oki to say, okay, you're staying here for more than two nights, you can turn down your housekeeping, and then we will reward you with a cocktail in the bar, and then we save money. We save money as a hotel, but also together we save the environment.
Okay.
So a lot of ideas like that. We've become really good at reaching out to a guest who's not yet a loyalty member and incentivize them pre-stay why they should sign up as a loyalty member, which is super important for the enterprise customers. And there are a lot of different ideas around why upselling the way that we do it doesn't necessarily have to only be around the high profit margin deals.
Yeah.
It needs to be kind of a combination, and that we see has a very big impact on total conversion.
Well, sometimes it's perceived that way, isn't it? But I always think, I'm a keen cyclist, so I always think about marginal gains, and, you know, it doesn't always have to be high-end upsell. It can be just be small little pieces, but those small little bits adding up, if you get the process right and a lot of people buy, that adds up to additional revenue. It could be a nice bit of sizable revenue, and because so much of it's all automated anyway, you know, it's there and it happens to some degree in the background.
Exactly. And that's where it's so amazing. Like, when we started, I remember it like, and we talk about this on every single conference, right? So we went to Copenhagen, we signed up five hotels, we come back, we're like, woohoo! And then we realized they have five different PMSs, and we're like, shit, we can't work. We can't integrate to them. But what has happened in the past 5 years is now there are all these marketplaces, there are cloud-based PMSs, and it's making, although there's a lot of effort, like a big, sizable effort of our R&D goes to connectivity still, but it's still a lot easier than it used to be. And I think
the whole API and opening up and open APIs and that connectivity has changed dramatically, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So where do you sit? I mean, from a hotel, well, let me start two questions. From a guest's point of view, they don't know that you're driving this. Everything is being driven from the hotel. Everything's front-ended as if it's the hotel. Where do you sit in the process as a piece of tech with the hotelier? So I'm now a GM. I listen to this. I'm thinking, wow, that sounds pretty neat. Yeah. Where do these guys fit into my process?
Super good question. So partly I would answer it in two ways. Mm-hmm. If you want to use Oki independently, and by that I mean you want to connect Oki to your PMS. We have loads of connections with channel managers. We also give hotels pretty unique access to certain OTA channels. Okay. Have direct connectivity with OTAs.
Okay, interesting.
And what that does is basically it feeds reservation data into Oki, and yeah. Oki can automatically, for example, send pre-arrival emails. And all of these emails have a link to a web application, which is customized for the property and the stay and the guests. And basically, you can look at it like a very nice environment, which you don't have to download, which is in the right language, and just offers all of these types of deals and offers that we just mentioned. Can be room upgrades with room availability, and then you just click upgrade, and then basically it will modify the reservation right away. What's one thing? First, how we sit. So that's how we sit if you want to use Oki independently.
Independently, yeah.
And now what we are releasing, so it's very cool timing about this call, because what will happen in the future and what is actually already happening, but we're beta testing it, will be launched early next year, is that I mentioned a little bit around, we have this enormous database and knowledge around how you should sell something to a certain type of guest. Yeah. And we are opening up our database through an API, enabling other guest communication tools to do upselling like through Oki, but through their tool. So yeah. A lot of hotels, they use chatbots. So we integrate to chatbots, mm-hmm. and the use case is like, hi, I'm Trevor, going to the website. Hi, I'm Trevor, do you have a parking? Yeah, and then the chatbot verifies that you are you.
Yep.
And then automatically pulls a parking deal from Oki and presents it in the chat.
Ah, very neat.
And then you upgrade, you would then go to the web app and you would take the upgrade, and then it will be automatically pushed. So it's like another way of accessing upselling. And we do the same with omnichannel. So a lot of omnichannel solutions. You can do WeChat for your Chinese travelers, which is the best way to reach them. WhatsApp, Messenger, Instagram, whatever. And it works very much the same. So it basically enables a hotelier to think of, okay, I have this kind of tech stack that is guest facing. Yeah. And if I don't have upselling in one of my chatbots or omnichannel or CRM, or I want to have access to the best one, they can plug in Oki and let Oki power the upselling. So we also integrate to a couple of CRM systems in the same way. And this is really exciting for us because, like I mentioned, we started out and we wanted to be extremely focused. So we focused always on pre-stay. Yeah. And by doing this without becoming a messaging company and without spending years on, and we actually don't want to become one, we are now able to power upselling throughout the full guest journey with like the best in breed partners. Mm-hmm. And that is also part of like the open, like we, it's in our DNA, partnerships is very important. And by doing this, we allow the hotelier to like connect us to their current tech stack. So the very important piece that the systems will talk to each other.
Absolutely.
It's all integrated, but still generate or offer their guests this very personalized kind of offer optimization experience throughout the journey.
And when you talk about the customer journey, but then earlier you spoke about the not just the pre-stay, but after as well. But do hotels utilize your solution? And I'm just thinking about what you said there with the likes of an integration with WeChat or WhatsApp and these messaging platforms. If I was on holiday for a week and someone was to drop me a message 2 days in and after I've started to chill out and relax a little bit and provide me an offer now that I'm in the experience, Is that happening? Are you doing that? This utilization with these chat platforms, is that what you're doing? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, very good question. Yeah, so this is exactly what we're doing with these partners. And so what both chatbots and omnichannel are sharing with us is that there's a lot of inbound requests from guests that want to have something which which could be like, there's a very clear synergy with upselling, right? So they are sending a message, hey, can I have a room service? Or like they get an inbound request for something that the hotel could sell. And the integration with Oki is basically that it allows this process to be fully automated. Mm-hmm. And it also is cool because we've always specialized on outbound. So sending an offer to the guest where we think it's the right time based on historical data, et cetera, that maximizes the likelihood that this guest will purchase. Mm-hmm. What the messaging allows us to do is also offer on an inbound basis. So be really relevant in terms of when the guests themselves are asking for it, but also it presents an opportunity to do outbound there as well.
So
I spoke to, for example, a hostel organization, and they had a big problem that guests that wanted to extend their stay, they would go back to the OTA and book a room, and it was a hassle because they had to like shuffle around the rooms and they were just lying in the bed. She said, what I would like to do is I would like to send them a message day prior to arrival and say, would you like to extend your stay? Click here. Yeah. And that's just a very niched use case, but it's an example.
Absolutely. Yeah, perfect.
Imagine like if it's raining outside, you can start personalizing the messaging and the offering based on the weather or based on things that are happening in the city or inside the hotel.
Well, that was the thing I was thinking about, the experiences, you know, because I often feel I can only go on my experience, and you know, I guess technology provides so many opportunities. So I have to be realistic that things have developed so much in the last 3-4 years that I'll probably experience a lot more of this over the coming years. But I've always felt there was a lot at the beginning before I arrive, a lot after I've left, but very little, you know, as you say. I mean, the classic example of, you know, the weather changes, and so you're there, it's, you know, you may be on a beach, but you're near some other attractions, or you may be not aware of events that are going on locally. And the opportunity to tie up in those partners and drive that ancillary revenue and push that offer or push a suggestion through to a guest who's already there. Mm-hmm. I mean, for anyone around that location, you've got a captive audience already in place. So to not tie that up and use it just always seems crazy to me.
Yeah. You're obviously preaching to the choir here. but again, like I said, if you should also not misuse it. Like, there's a danger in just, we like to say, you know, if every guest is different, why is your offering or upselling always the same?
Very good
and
point.
So if you just blast out the same stuff to all guests, you're probably you're making more damage than.
It's like you're spamming them, aren't you?
Yeah. So being really, really careful and crafting a message and a story to the various segments that you have, and then automating that. And that's where I think it's so cool what, you know, because we come from a background where we used to be such a small business. And now we process millions of transactions every month. Yeah. And that allows us to, like, our knowledge around upselling becomes like exponentially smarter every month. And that's so cool. And we can like drive, you know, automated A/B tests almost in a day. It's a really, really exciting place to be for us. But also, hopefully, that's something our customers also see.
Yeah, is absolutely. That
the longer they are on board with the platform, they also become smarter thanks to us upselling a lot in Asia, because it might be travelers that come back to them. Mm-hmm. And on that note, I want to say, I want to create something that I think the way we do upselling can have a cool impact on revenue strategy.
Okay.
And we're starting to see it with our largest customers. And this has been like a passion of ours and a dream of ours for a long time. So enough with the cliffhanger. If you know how much certain guests will spend after they book, before they book, how will that affect your distribution strategy? Well, if you look at two hotels here in Amsterdam next to each other, one of them has a 15% higher ADR. So in the eyes of like looking at KPIs like RGI and stuff like that, it looks like they're the clear winner. Yeah. They charge more for the rooms, assuming they have the same occupancy.
Yes.
But it turns out that they only have the British tourists that come to Amsterdam and they don't spend anything except in the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Whereas the other hotel, they have a 10% lower ADR, same occupancy, but they attract all the Italians that spend so much money on you know, direct revenue after they book. And we because we have been selling to so many types of guests so many times, and we keep doing it, we are actually able to predict how much a certain type of traveler will spend if you sell to them in a certain way.
Interesting.
And this is where I think a really, really cool next step is to integrate Oki to an RMS and share that data back to the RMS to say, okay, this is what a certain segment is likely to spend. So it becomes a new dimension in terms of how you...
A new layer, isn't it, of data. Sort of a secondary piece of data that they can overlay into it.
Yeah, exactly. And that can have a huge impact on, maybe Expedia or Booking.com is the best channel after all, because if I would take away the channel costs, I'm able to reach out to these guests that I'm not able to from my website, for example.
Yeah, but I know that they're going to spend, and that'll compensate for the cost of the channel anyhow.
Yeah. So this whole shift, I think we've seen for a long time, moving from, you know, room revenue to TravPar or net TravPar, is really exciting. And I think we feel like we are kind of in the middle of that with some very, very exciting insights in terms of...
It's interesting. I can remember having a conversation with somebody. I used the phrase, it was a bit crass, but it's revenue per available wallet.
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, everyone turns up in your hotel with cash, with a credit card, with a debit card. The aim is to get them to spend as much of their available budget that they have within your hotel. Now, as you say, if you know that a certain demographic spends more money in your property, and that would offset a reduced room rate, then suddenly you're starting to pull together and starting to become even narrower in your targeting around your offers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, so for us, like we don't actually save what you, Trevor, did last time you stayed in an hotel. No. But CRMs do that. So we integrate to CRMs, and we're able to personalize the offerings more by the information the CRMs can share with Oki.
Absolutely, yeah.
But what we independently are really good at is being able to personalize the offerings for someone who has never stayed with you before. And that's by looking at consumer behavior and patterns, like the reservation.
That's what you're saying with the Italians or the British. So you've got that demographic.
No offense to the British.
No, but you know, that's how we are.
No, I'm thinking more here in Amsterdam, more the young crowd.
Yeah, they come over. Yeah, exactly.
But no, exactly. So, and I think that's key, because in the end, I don't know, for some chains it may be a different story, but for the majority, loyalty is almost not there, right? So if you get someone to come back to you, it's amazing, and then you should definitely do more with it.
Absolutely.
But for us, looking at consumer behavior and like treating the entire sample size that we have as one piece, we're able to generate way more data around making conclusions around how to sell the right deal to the right guest at the right time.
Sense.
That's
makes,
what we're all about.
Sense. And when we look at the explosion that's happened in technology within the hotel sector over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, you know, there's a lot of RMS providers, there's loads of PMS providers. What's your space like? I mean, you've mentioned about your competition a couple of times. You know, who are the guys that you're going up against? How many people are in your market sector?
I mean, we have I don't know if I want to mention the names, but we basically have one key competitor in the enterprise space. Mm-hmm. And we were very excited because we replaced them in Radisson.
Yeah.
And that was also, that was the specific competitor that this gentleman from Hilton was talking about when we decided to go for upselling, said they are the only company doing that.
Yeah.
So that,
that was nice.
That we were very proud to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice milestones.
Yeah. We have a couple of other competitors that are niching themselves a little bit. They're doing, for example, bidding or only upselling a couple of items.
Yeah.
And then I think the main challenge, or it's not really a challenge, but the main difficulty is that there are upselling makes so much sense. There's so much synergies if you look at just the fact that you want to offer something to a guest. Mm-hmm. That a lot of companies will build it as a feature. And it can become kind of like an education game that, like, okay, the ROI or the results is just not comparable. We would drive maybe 10 times more revenue than a company that does it as a feature simply because we do it as a company.
Yes.
But yeah. But if you look at what we do, and if you want to open the door with an app or whatever, in the end, we're competing for the attention of the guest. Mm. And I think that's the real competition. And that's where we see in our DNA, starting with solving such a niche problem, if they already have a system that is sending out emails to the guests, we would rather live inside those emails integrated rather than us needing to send the emails, for example.
And I think that was the key thing I picked up from you earlier. It's not saying, okay, you've got to stop using X, Y, and Z and you use us in place of that. What you're saying is you can still use that, but we can provide you a lot more sophistication around how you are communicating and how you are segmenting and how we can look at your typical customer base and overlay with that what our data is telling them to make your offers far more personalized to that group.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so much, right? So there's all this, we have like a very advanced, what you call it, like a CMS, like a, a management system on the back end, where you have stuff, we're releasing dynamic pricing or room upgrades. All of these like very nitty gritty features that you need to have in order to be able to specialize personalize what it is that you're offering to the various travelers. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, we didn't used to have this. We used to call a hotel and say, oh, you're sending emails with a CRM. Sorry, you have to switch that off. That was the case for the longest time. Right. And of course, we're always gonna keep doing things ourselves.
Yes.
Because you want to have that ability, and we're very good at doing it. But we've built an API to be able to integrate to the tech stack of the hotel simply for this purpose, because we think that from the hotelier's point of view, if they're very happy with the system that they're currently using and they want to add on the best upselling tech into that, that's probably a better experience for the hotelier rather than us replacing the guest-facing part in that specific case.
And it makes sense. I mean, you may as well provide a solution, a complete solution, because there are a lot of hotels out there that might be doing emailing, but may not be doing it in a sophisticated way. And some of these systems are also, if they're cheap, they're not always as good. If they're more expensive, well, they're expensive. So being able to tie in where you can, it would be easier to see a correlation of that return on investment of them putting the money with Oki and you handling that for them. But if they are a bit more sophisticated and tech savvy and they've got that in, to be able to just plug it in and add your core intelligence piece, which is what you're bringing, then again, seems very logical. It gives you the chance to play on both sides, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, from the hotel's perspective, the best thing is how scalable this is. It's fast to get going. That also didn't used to be the case, but so that's really, really, really nice. We made huge progress last year. This year still, we're in November. We decreased our onboarding time by 80%, and it was because we all of a sudden had so many hotels on the backlog, and we're like, guys, we need to automate this.
We need to find a way.
And that's really hugely beneficial for all the hotels coming live now. Already be suggestions. You should sell these deals. Yeah. You just click at da da da, and with many systems, it's becoming more like a single sign-on way of connecting the systems, which is super cool.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. You've spoken about some of the initiatives already as we've gone through. You know, as you look into 2020, as I say, you have already covered some, so you may want to just summarize that these are the big pushes. But is there anything else that you're looking at? What's going to be the core focus for you guys in 2020 and beyond?
I think one of the core focuses is what we've talked a lot about, is like using the unique knowledge and data that we possess around personalized upselling and offer that through the full guest journey via partners. And yeah, just keep having fun with what you're doing. If you if you have fun and you're happy at work, then
it's no longer work.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well, it's been great to talk with you today. And thank you. Thank you so much for finding the time. Conscious you're incredibly busy. I will let you go.
Thank you, Trevor. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.